From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in November of 1865 in an eighth grade classroom. The Board of Regents of the state of New York had passed an ordinance mandating a set of what it called preliminary examinations. And since then, Regents exams have existed in some form, though of course there have been many changes over the years. This time around, the discussion is about scrapping Regents requirements altogether. 60% of American states don't have a Regents equivalent, and other states that do are debating eliminating them. For now, the Regents tests are required for students to receive a Regents diploma, 22 credits and passing at least 4 Regents exams. Students who pass as many as 8 Regents exams receive a Regents diploma with advanced designation. Students who don't seek a Regents diploma can still get a local diploma. Regents Chancellor Betty Rosa wrote the following, quote, "The graduation rate continues to slowly edge up, but stubborn gaps in achievement persist. Gaps that separate students of color, students with disabilities, English language learners, and low-income students from their peers who are white and attend school in low-need districts," end quote. Well, last year, the statewide graduation rate was 80.4%, according to journalist Joseph Spector, while the rate in Rochester is 53.5%. Chancellor Rosa concluded, quote, "Simply put, the system is not working for everyone, and too many students, particularly our most vulnerable students, are leaving high school without a diploma," end quote. So is it time to scrap the Regents model? Are there benefits to the Regents system? Our guests will have a lot to say about that. In studio, we welcome Sheila Byrne, an advanced placement English teacher at Webster Thomas High School. Welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also with us is Katie Baird, a recent graduate of Webster Thomas High School. Congratulations. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And Evie Fanning is an English teacher at a local suburban public school as well. Welcome back to you.
Thanks, Evan.
Well, a lot to kind of digest with what would change, and there's still a lot of questions about what could happen in New York State in terms of, are you going to throw out the Regents system altogether? Would it be revamped? I mean, I think Sheila pointed out before the program began here that we say Regents has existed since 1865, but even back 10, 11, 12 years, there's been a lot of changes in just the last decade, right?
Yes, and I remember when there were different pathways to graduation. For example, as recently as 20 years ago, you did not have to take Regents exams in order to graduate. And some of the Regents exams that have been thrown out since the 1800s have been things like costume making, dressmaking, agriculture, things that were no longer relevant to modern high school students. And so those, it's kind of evolved over the years. And as it has evolved, there's kind of been a push to make sure that everyone takes the same exams.
Are you comfortable with the current system, and would you keep Regents?
I would keep some of the Regents. I would keep the Regents that were in the basic skills areas, like, of course, English, with some qualifications. I would keep English. I would keep math. I would keep history, and I would keep I don't think there is an economics exam, is there, Katie?
Oh, not at all.
So maybe add, so you could see changing it, but you are not in favor of scrapping it entirely.
No, I believe that there has to be a way to assess basic literacy in content areas, certain content areas, to make sure that students are entering into college in the workforce with basic skills intact.
Okay. Evie Fanning,
agree? Toss them.
Throw them out.
Throw them out. I don't think we need them. I don't think that there's anybody who benefits from the system. I mean, it's not valuable for the student. It's definitely not valuable for the teacher. It's a terrible predictor of success in college. It's a terrible predictor of success later in life. So I have no idea why we're doing this.
Okay, see, well, look, we've got two affable people with difference of opinions, and we'll get, I want to get a student's view on it first, and then we're going to kind of get back into some of what Evie says, which is when we talk about not valuable for the student, not valuable for the teacher, and also whether it's a good predictor of success later in life. So really what the value is. We'll get back to that in a moment, but the recent graduate of Webster Thomas, Katie Baird, with a Regents diploma with advanced designation?
Correct.
Okay. Did you find value in the Regents system?
I can see the point of standardized testing and making sure that we're keeping students and teachers accountable, but I see some definite flaws in the system. I think that when many students are expected to pass certain exams, it can dilute the information, and it can really just create simplified versions of education. And then on the other end of it, those exams that not everyone is expected to pass, there's huge curves that make it really hard to fail and really hard to do well. So it creates this middle that I don't really see a benefit towards. So I see the point of Regents exams, but I think they need to be changed a little bit.
So I think to the point you're making about the curve, I don't teach, I don't fully understand exactly how the curves may work, but just reading last year about algebra as a Regents exam, to get what would have been sort of a passing grade, I think the median was like 28, like a raw score of 28 out of 100 or something like that. Is that what you're talking about with a curve?
Yeah.
You're not comfortable with the way it's curved, or make sure I understand your complaint there, your concern.
Sure. So you can get, frankly, like an abysmal score on like specifically math and science exams, and then they make it so that is the passing grade because mm-hmm. they need to have X amount of students pass to consider the system a success. So they're not really testing students. They're just making a curve to say, oh, here's where we consider passing. It's not really a test score if mm-hmm. it's an actual fail.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Sheila?
I would agree with that. I definitely think there's room for improving the Regents exams. For example, the English exam, there's the second task on the writing is curved so heavily, if you miss just one point, it can drop you down below a 90. So there's definitely some room for improvement. And I think that one of the other things that we overlook as well is that there are some teachers who do nothing all year but teach the Regents exam. And that's not helping anybody because, frankly, you're not going to have to stop, drop, and write a source-based essay at most of your places of employment. So there is room for improvement, but I still think as far as the assessment goes, there has to be some way to determine that we're not sending people out into the community after graduation who are illiterate.
Okay, so let's take her point there. There has to be some assessment at the end of K-12 schooling.
Why? I mean, the test at the end of the schooling is not going to turn somebody who's illiterate into somebody who's literate. Why do we need this assessment?
Sheila?
Well, I would say that if we don't assess basic literacy, then what have we been doing for the past 12 years?
Teaching.
But how do we know that they've learned anything?
I can absolutely tell you that from having taught them.
I guess because there's so much variety in the way that people teach and the way that people assess and score that I feel like it's nice to have a common denominator that everybody knows that they're going to be taking this and that it's going to make sure that they know how to read and they know how to, for example, determine a good source from a bad source.
But the test doesn't make sure that they know how to do those things. And the test definitely is not a teaching tool. And when it comes to assessment, like you said, you know, many, many teachers graded differently. There are all kinds of problems with assessment. The fact that the Regents are not assessed centrally, right? School districts assess their own students. So one of the problems, for example, we could look at is that there's a statistically significant amount of tests whose scores are skewed, where kids are passing the test who shouldn't be passing the test. In other words, there's an equal distribution of all of the grades on the test, except when it comes to the benchmark numbers that you have to reach in order to graduate. And suddenly there are a lot more scores just above it and no scores just below it. In other words, teachers are pulling kids up when they're on the border or when they are just failing. They're receiving scores that their work on the exam doesn't warrant.
Just to get them to pass?
Just to get them to pass.
Is that a concern of yours?
Well, one of the things that I would say is, yes, I think that sometimes scores can be skewed. But on the other hand, if you have identified students through their 8th grade English testing or their 8th grade math testing as being in need of extra help, then that student is often tutored. They often are allowed to take the exam more than once. And that's another thing. It's not you can take the exam more than once. I mean, some schools give it in 10th grade. I'm talking about the English exam. Some schools give it in 10th grade. You can take it in 11th grade. You can take it in January, June, August, and the following January. So there's plenty of options to get your score up and also to become familiar with the test, which is a factor in making students less anxious in taking it.
Or another factor in making students less anxious could be not giving them the test.
Well, okay, well, look, this is, there's a lot of different places we're going to take this conversation. And listeners, if you want to weigh in on how you feel about Regents and exams, you can call the program. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Predicting success later in life, why do you say Regents don't do that?
Because there are many studies that show that standardized test scores absolutely do not correlate to success in college or to success in life. And I believe they define success in life as securing steady employment and staying out of prison, like very basic success in life. There's no correlation between that and standardized test scores. There is a great correlation between success in college and household income. Lifetime success and household income. In other words, I can tell you what the students will score without making them take the test.
Just based on how wealthy their parents are?
Pretty much. I mean, we can talk about all of the things that happen in the middle. It's not a cause and effect thing. It's common causes, right? So somebody who is affluent and has the luxury of time, leisure, nutrition, tutors, emotional support, family stability, etc., has a great advantage when it comes to sitting for 3 hours in a tiny desk at a designated time and focusing on some fact-based documents that are irrelevant to their real life.
Similar complaints that we hear for something, for example, like the SAT.
Same thing.
Okay. Is that a valid concern?
I would say it is probably easier for affluent students to pass the SAT just because they can game the system. They can hire tutors. They can have multiple review books. They can afford to go to the review sessions.
What about Regents? Is there an advantage for students from affluent backgrounds?
I would say it depends on the district and how committed they are to making sure that all the students have a chance. I mean, we all do Regents review sessions. I feel like that is a really good point, that affluence and household income is one factor in determining success. But there are always lifelines that you can get from scoring well on a test that will bring you to the attention of someone.
Can I ask, Katie, as a student, when you think about the Regents diploma you just got and the tests you had to pass, do you feel like when you got done with the tests, was your mindset, passed it, got it out of the way, done? Or were you thinking, boy, in preparation for this, I've really learned a lot that's going to benefit me?
I would say neither.
Neither?
Because for me personally, the Regents exams were just a pointless step I had to take. For a lot of AP students, Regents exams are months after your last AP, and they're kind of useless because we learned all the information and we haven't even been doing anything for a month, and it's just something you have to take to get your diploma. But when I was in eighth grade and I took the algebra exam, I'd spent like weeks and like months preparing for this exam. And then I did like pretty poorly on it. So
did you pass it?
I passed it.
But for your standards, you did pretty poorly.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask what that means?
Sure. I got something, I think it was like a 78 on the exam.
Okay.
And that was after like learning algebra, studying algebra for like months and like the whole year. Like, and I was pretty like diligent, and it didn't, I don't think it reflected my score very well. And then I took it the next year and I did much better.
Okay, but here's kind of where I'm going with this.
Sure.
Do you think that that set of exams is preparing you for success in life? Do you feel like you as a student who's just graduated, you're going on to higher ed, you're thinking about your future, do you think now that it will help you? Do you feel better about yourself as a learner, as a student, as someone who's prepared for college or life?
Me personally, no. I don't think Regents have done much, but I see the point in the school system for them. But for me, the APs were much more valuable.
Let me get a little listener feedback. First of all, one of our listeners writes in to say, without a standardized test, we'd have school districts teaching creationism.
Okay, so then it sounds like we have standardized tests because we don't trust teachers. Is that right? And if we don't trust teachers, then we really shouldn't hand over the entire youth of the country to them.
I think I'm gonna try to channel with what this guest said,
okay,
right?
Or
this listener said. I think the listener's point is you got to trust teachers because you're with the students for hours upon hours a day and
exactly,
per week and per year.
Right.
But there must be some basic framework of what we have an expectation that the students will be learning.
Sure.
That there will be some variation, but there's a basic framework.
There is a framework in the curriculum, right? I have certain skills that I will teach my students. And certain skills that I have to teach them. And in fact, the New York State requires that we teach skills that are not assessed by the Regents test. So, I mean, there's no way that even the state tests is assessing the very things that we're supposed to be teaching them. And I'm not against having some standards in the curriculum and having some agreement on what kinds of things we're going to teach, but the kinds of things that we should ideally be teaching specifically in an ELA classroom, let's say in an English classroom, is nothing that will ever be able to be assessed by a pen and paper test in any sort of authentic way. There's no way. We're not, I mean, I stop teaching 2 weeks before the test and then I do test prep for 2 weeks. And really, there's a disconnect there. Those 2 weeks, I could have used those 2 weeks to teach actual literature. You know, what we're after, the ultimate goals, aren't summarizing fact-based documents that we've never seen before and we'll never see again. You know, we aim for things like identifying with characters and circumstances that are the other, ultimately becoming more empathetic people, being able to creatively put ourselves in a way of thinking that isn't ours. There are much more lofty kinds of things that I think are much more valuable to becoming a productive person, a healthy person, an empathetic person. And I have to stop all of that in order to do test prep and, you know, talk about how to crush the multiple choice.
Okay. Now, Sheila, what would you say to the listener who wrote in to say, without these kinds of exams, what he's, I think, essentially saying is, it all bets are off on what teachers would be teaching.
Well, what I would say is, I agree to an extent that, personally, I moved back to New York over 20 years ago so that my students would be in the New York State school system. I lived in a state that did not have final exams or Regents-type exams, and there was not a whole lot of testing other than, like, basic skills testing once a year in elementary school, and it sounded awesome until you realized that there were big gaps that weren't being identified, and that I'm not pro-standardized testing. I know it's very stressful for a lot of kids, but I also think that if you use the test for what it's designed, which is meeting a standard without focusing on that as your curriculum, then you are a lot better off. And New York State used to be one of the leaders in education. New York State, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. And Massachusetts and New Jersey still use Regents-type exams. And they are two of the states which have the, I won't say best educated, but better educated populations and high literacy rates. So there's a value to having the entire state curriculum be kind of assessed at the end so that everyone's on the same page, kind of metaphorically.
All right, if you're on the phone, hang there for a moment. I want to bring in on the line Kelvin Eaton, who is the founder and executive director of 540 West Main Community University and a substitute teacher in the Rochester City School District. Thanks for taking the time, Kelvin. I'll start just by asking you for your thoughts on the idea of scrapping Regents exams entirely.
Hi, Evan. I'm actually all for it. I've had the privilege, actually not of subbing in the RCSD. I've actually, most of my subbing in New York has been in most of the suburban districts, East Aranaquit and West Aranaquit specifically.
Sure.
But it's given me a perspective of being able to assist and support teachers and Regents testing over the past several years. And the level of anxiety that I've seen Regents testing cause for teachers, for students, is one of the reasons why I support parents opting their students out. My background educationally is special education. I found that oftentimes students who are receiving special education services, or sometimes not, but get given supports from teachers throughout the school year, those supports are not transferred for the Regents test because perhaps a student's special needs do not rise to the level of actually getting an IEP service. So when that happens, if a student is getting extra support reading or maybe in an alternate room or alternate location for tests that the teachers give, that support isn't transferred for a Regents exam. So you might have a student who the teachers, the parents know that a student might be reading below grade level. We know that. And then you're forced to take this Regents exam that does not consider that. And then there is this level of anxiety that everyone has. And I've seen students melt down, have behaviors when they're forced to sit in these long hours under constraints that really are anxiety inducing. And oftentimes as teachers, I've had the privilege of being able to test exams or assess the Regents. And many times you find that the Regents exam doesn't tell you anything different than you already know about your student if you're in fact a good teacher and have a good teacher team. So I'm all for, I understand some of the conversations that have already been had about wanting to standardize what teachers are teaching. Regents exams have not been a good factor in that. Even being able to sub, you see that even the way that teachers teach how to take the test varies across districts, across classrooms, even teachers within the same teacher grade level. So in terms of having a way to standardize how teachers are teaching or hold them to some standard, Regents exams have not done that very well. And so I'm all for an alternate model. And just I want to say before I sort of listen as well, is that for students of color, Black students specifically in districts like RCSD, we find that even students who are taking the Regents exams and graduating are not always prepared for college or the workforce. So to say that Regents exams prepare students for life outside of high school has not, we've not seen that standardization in New York State and other districts and other states as well.
Kevin, one follow-up for you, and then we're going to hand it over to some listeners. There's a lot of feedback already. You know, Sheila Byrne, who's an AP English teacher at Webster Thomas High School, has the somewhat lonely position of being a what I would call sort of a mild defender of Regents. She's not saying the status quo is perfect or there should be no changes, but she does see some value in a system that assesses in this way. And I don't think Sheila or anybody who supports Regents would say, listening to Calvin's concern and critique about students who need, for example, IEPs and maybe not getting that transfer of support, I don't think Sheila or anybody else would say that that's not a problem. I'm sure if that disconnect is there, as Calvin describes it, and I don't doubt that it's there, that it's a problem. Calvin, is there a way to overcome some of that or to deal with that or to recognize that disconnect and say, all right, these students need IEPs, we're going to make sure that as we prepare for Regents, they're getting the attention they need. We're going to address some of these other concerns. Is there a way to sort of deal with that system and improve it without scrapping it entirely?
You know, I don't know. I feel like the state has tried to do that. We know that this past school year, I think it was, that there was a huge scandal with, for instance, the commissioner of education who's leaving the state now, Mary Ellen Elia, she really pushed for some schools to support having tests be done electronically or digitally. And there was a whole snafu with the administrator of those exams that created even more chaos and anxiety. I'm not sure that the current model can be fixed. I think there needs to be a completely different model. One thing I do want to add as well is that when we think about the exam itself, who is creating the exam, who those writers are, oftentimes we find that they're not considering cultural differences of students, Black students especially. So you have a test that's testing usually white people, white administrators, white writers, and you find that differences in language, cultures don't always get transferred, and especially the English and more writing-intensive regions exams. So you have situations where students, the exam, because it's not created by people who look like them or understand their culture, you have a system that's set up where someone who's a Black student who's very intelligent might, because the way the exam is written by people who are not considering that and who's at the table at the institutions who are being paid money to create these exams, they're not considered. So we even now have the conversation where colleges are no longer using SATs.
Yeah.
SAT scores are accepting that because we find that it's creating a system where we're saying that one type of student is superior academically than another because of the cultural differences that are not being addressed by standardized tests in general. So I'm not a proponent of standardized testing in general.
Okay, and boy, Sheila almost jumped out of her chair when you said it's a matter of who's creating the test. I think you were screaming yes.
Yes, absolutely. And this is because I feel all this, what I would call Regents nonsense, began back in 2009 when we had Race to the Top. And there was actually competition with school districts to jump on the standardized test bandwagon. And we actually, as a department, and this was all the English teachers in the middle school and the high school, who were gathered together with someone from the test company who was writing the test for the Regents exam, going over the questions. And almost, I would say 99% of the teachers got one of the questions wrong. And so normally when you're doing that, instructional design says if that many people get the question wrong, it's a bad question. And the test company representative was arguing with us why we were wrong. And everyone just kind of shook their heads. And that is the other thing that we have to bear in mind is that the tests are often prepared by corporations who are being paid by the state to prepare the tests, not teachers. And I believe that is an extremely valid point that the caller had. We have to look at what our students know and integrate that into what we are teaching, which is what most teachers do anyway. And that's where you get a good assessment.
All right, let's do this. Calvin's going to stay with us for a bit more of the hour. He's on the line with us. And you just heard Sheila Byrne, an AP English teacher at Webster Thomas High School. Abby Fanning is here, an English teacher at a local suburban public school. Katie Baird is a recent graduate of Webster Thomas High School. And we got a lot of your phone calls, and we're going to get straight to them on the other side of this only break. Coming up in our second hour, former Vice President Joe Biden says if he's elected president, cancer will be cured. He says getting that done will be one of his main missions, and it will happen under his administration. Is it realistic? There are so many different forms of cancer. What does he really mean? What do doctors think about that kind of a promise? Cancer, of course, affects all of us, and we'll explore it next hour. I'm Evan Dawson. This is Connections. New York State could see a scrapping of the region system entirely. Now, if history is a guide, we won't. We'll see some sort of a reform, and that's happened a number of times since 1865 when Regents essentially debuted. But there is some conversation on the state level of scrapping the Regent system entirely. So we'll see, and that's where the discussion focuses this hour. Let's get your feedback. Amber and Webster on the line first. Go ahead, Amber.
Hi. I am actually not a fan of standardized tests in general. I found it very interesting, the comments that have all been made by the two speakers and the student. And the thing that's most alarming to me is the comment about the Regents exams being used to evaluate literacy. I think that the educational system is really intended to teach kids and the future of our country to learn, to love learning. And all the standardized tests shift the educator's attention away from teaching kids how to learn. Literacy, when you're in high school, it's the wrong time to evaluate literacy, and a standardized test is the wrong way to do it. Kids do get anxiety. Kids judge themselves against how they perform on those tests. Everybody's path in life will be different, and the Regents don't take any of that into consideration, but they do affect how you look at yourself. And so I think standardized tests should be reevaluated. I think who writes the standardized tests, I absolutely loved that last point that was just made, that corporations, and I'm in the business world, corporations absolutely should not be writing these standardized tests and making huge profits. We should be taking that money and pouring it back into the educational system and evaluating how we teach kids and how they're capable of learning whatever's relevant for them in their lives, and ask them to strive for more learning instead of being afraid of what a number on a piece of paper is going to say to them or predict about their future. It can be incredibly limiting for people who don't come from affluent environments.
You should be a teacher, Amber.
Amber.
Well, I wanted to be, but everybody said the administration won't stand behind you 30 years ago, but I love it. And I'm from Webster, and I have three kids in the district. I think our educational system is fantastic in Webster. I'm a big proponent of teachers and rewarding and acknowledging the great and amazing things teachers do. And I feel standardized tests are actually things that you know, distract teachers from being the most amazing influence on a student's life. That's what they should be doing.
Amber, thank you for the phone call. You want to start, Debbie Fanning? Go ahead.
I think that's absolutely true. Standardized tests are mutually exclusive with authentic teaching and with authentic assessment. And when we talk about, I mean, we're not, standardized tests are not tackling the problem of illiteracy, because here we are, we have them, and our graduation rate hovers around 50%
in the city,
right, in Rochester.
In the city of Rochester.
In the city of Rochester, where they do take the Regents exams. And when we say that we have to identify the students who have not reached the benchmark levels of whatever it is we're testing, for what purpose are we identifying them? Because it's an exit exam. We label them as somebody who is not worthy of a high school diploma, and then what? It's not like we're not doing anything constructive with this information that we're gathering from the tests.
Okay. When it comes to the caller's point, Sheila Byrne, that this is not a way to assess literacy to begin with. Do you agree or disagree from an English, from the perspective of an AP English teacher?
I would say it's probably more of an assessment than the AP English exams are as far as literacy goes. And I mean basic literacy, like reading comprehension. I am not a fan of the writing tasks, either one of them. But reading comprehension and vocabulary are very important in anything that you're going to do, whether you're going to be an accountant working in the business world, whether you're going to be a carpenter, whatever you're going to do, you're going to need to know how to read, and you're going to need to know words. I feel that over-testing, that a lot of that is done in elementary schools, and I've worked a lot. I was involved with a project with some reading teachers in the elementary schools, and they were just beside themselves because of the amount of testing that was being done in the elementary schools, and they said it's making kids not like reading. So once they get to high school, if they've gotten all that testing in the elementary schools, then they're not going to be fans of reading. So I really do feel that there should be like a basic you're good to go kind of test. And as far as the Regents goes, I had this discussion with another teacher. Why not just give it in ninth grade when you enter high school and don't make it an exit exam? Make it a test that's like, are you ready for high school? Make it a ninth grade test.
Well, I take Evie Fanning's point about it being an exit exam, because let's just say you've got a student 18 years old, and let's say that student hasn't learned a lot in regards to certain core subjects. But what Evie's point is, okay, that person's future in whatever life path they want or will end up on, what does it do to tell the world in a neon sign, this person didn't do this with the exit exam? It further injures what is already going to be a difficult path for someone.
And this might
be a student,
as opposed
to looking to do something constructive.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, and this might be a student who has mastered those skills. This might be a student who suffers from anxiety. This might be a student who was up all night listening to his parents fight. This might be somebody who didn't have any breakfast. It might be somebody who doesn't want to jump through the hoops of administration and pedagogy and is not going to sit there for the exam. And to tell you the truth, I have a little bit of respect for kids who see it that way. But, I mean, even if this were a good test, and I don't know if we can create such a thing, even if it were to test students' true ability, and I can't even fathom an exam that might do that, it still serves no purpose to identify the kids who haven't passed it. It takes away one more opportunity. And it's not a valid one because, again, success in standardized test is not a predictor of success anywhere else subsequently.
Calvin Eaton, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with the caller and all of the panelists. I can give a quick example. I graduated from high school in 2003, and I remember, I think it was either my 10th or 11th year, math has just always not been my strongest subject, and I have to study really hard and work really hard for math and the level of math that I was doing at the time. And I can remember one year I failed the Regents the first time, and so I went to summer school. I got it. My parents got a tutor for me, and I tutored this over the summer and did summer school just to retake the math Regents that summer. And I just remember going back to the caller's comments about self-esteem. I was really strong in all these other subjects, and then just the failure of knowing that the stigma of going to summer school, even though I didn't go to summer school for the whole math, but it was just to take the Regents exam. I don't think I looked at it that way that year, and I just felt this anxiety and low self-esteem because I had to retake this exam, and then I remember having added anxiety and pressure needing to retake the math Regents, and so I know that other students experience that. There is sometimes a stigma. You can overanalyze yourself. That comes with failing anything, especially for someone like myself who is a type A personality and always wants to succeed. And so those are things that you incite when you fail at something, and then you're looking at yourself as being a failure in general in that sort of high school mindset. So that's something that I want us to keep at the forefront of it as well. Just testing is, and some people just don't test well, and you never, because they know the stakes and everything that goes along with that, you never be able to get what you can glean from them through maybe an extemporaneous or experiential experience to really show you what they know through a standardized test.
Katie Barrett is a recent high school graduate with a Regents Diploma with distinction. One of the points the caller is making is that the school experience is supposed to teach students to love to learn and to learn how to learn. And instead, her concern is that what we are doing is we're not only removing the love of learning, but we're just focusing on learning how to take a test. Is that a criticism that's fair? I mean, how do you view it?
Oh, definitely. When I first heard like the word anxiety being thrown around, I kind of thought like, oh, well, like that's the real word. We have to like be able to face tests and stuff. When the point kept being made about how it, when you fail, you lower a student's self-esteem, and then that diminishes their enthusiasm for learning, that actually hit home much more about how the school system is supposed to teach learning. And when we create these tests that don't accurately all the time evaluate a student's learning, then we create a system that just keeps diminishing their self-esteem and making it harder for them to learn. And then they get placed with a label that says, you have failed and you are unworthy or of a Regents diploma, et cetera. And it makes it worse for the student, and now not just for themselves, but from the outsider's view. If that answers the question.
It does, because what Katie's saying is the impact is the way the outside world sees that student, the way the student sees themselves, and all the things that come of that. I'm going to get back to your emails in a moment here, but Oh, Calvin, you want to jump back in here? Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, I just wanted to say really quick before I take off is that I don't think we've talked about it enough, but there absolutely is a way. There is a certain way that you take Regents exams or any standardized test. So, for example, parents who have means, tutors, et cetera, you can create an unfair advantage for a student to learn how to take the test because there is a methodology to Regents testing, to SAT testing, other standardized tests where you can get the best of the best to help your child do really well on a Regents exam to take the test. And that is also something that we have to keep in mind, that if those families or students who may not have the means to tutoring to know how to take the Regents exam, because there is a way to do it. And I remember not only in my own school experience, but even in observing other teachers as they teach how to take the Regents, that there is certain predictors, certain things that you can look for that creates an advantage, and you're focusing solely on how to take the exam as opposed to the learning and the content that's involved in it.
Kelvin, thanks for taking the time. I know it's a tight day in your schedule. Thanks for fitting in the show today.
Thanks, Evan.
Kelvin Eaton is the founder and executive director of 540 West Maine Community University and a substitute teacher who's worked in a number of districts. You heard him mention he's worked in preparation for Regents exams, and there's some of his perspective. I'm going to get back to your phone calls now, and this is Robert in Fairport next. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I think that you probably need to elaborate on how the Regents exam has changed over the years. I graduated in the late 70s, early 80s, in that period, and at that time there were two tracks. A kid could be a non-Regents student and graduate. That meant they were not on a Regents track. They did not take Regents-level math, science, English, etc. Or you had students that were Regents students that had to pass the tests at the end of the year. And, you know, looking at some of these subjects, some of the tests I remember from school, you'd have to pass the Regents on algebra, trig, geometry, and calculus for math, for science, earth science, biology, physics, and chemistry. These tests were not curved at all. If you failed the test, you could take it in the summer. You had a second crack at it, but they were not curved. And it sounds like this thing has devolved into a point where everyone has to take a Regents exam now, and by doing so, it just waters the whole thing down.
So what would you like to see? More like when you were growing up, Robert?
I think that not everyone is cut out for the idea with the Regents track was it was supposed to be for college, kind of a college readiness type of track. And non-Regents was for kids that might not have wanted to pursue that track or did not necessarily preclude them from doing so. But I think by kind of force fitting this for everyone, they've made it meaningless.
Okay. Robert, thank you. Abby Fanning, does that sway you?
Does it sway me? I agree. I think, yeah, I just like tracking altogether. I don't know why we need to separate students as early as possible into the capable and the incapable ones. I'm not sure why we do that. I don't know why, and I know that there's a very, very long tradition of Regents exams in New York State. We're very proud of that long history of testing. It just seems like there's so much focus and so much attention and money and effort spent on testing kids instead of teaching kids.
Sheila, how do you feel about Robert's contention that that Regents used to be really in a different spirit, and now it seems like everyone's got to take them and get multiple attempts?
Well, I would agree, and I would say that the other thing that used to happen back in those days was that if you scored above a certain score on the Regents exams, you were eligible for a Regents scholarship that would help you pay tuition at a SUNY school. So there was some tie-in with college, and Regents were geared towards college. And then I think it was, 2012, when everyone had to get a Regents diploma. I thought that was not a good idea. There were some kids who would take the Regents exam and be failing the class, and they'd do great on the Regents exam and bring their average up and pass for the year. We don't do that anymore because we don't count the Regents exam on the final average. So it goes on your transcript, but it has no connection to anything. That's something that I feel is not a good thing. I would agree with my other ELA teacher over here that if you're going to give a test, it should mean something. But I feel that there are already different pathways to graduation. Our district has many different pathways to graduation. I don't think that taking all the Regents exams is necessary for everyone to graduate.
All right. You have awakened the defenders of Regents. So let's continue with those phone calls. Don in Rochester next. Go ahead, Don.
You know, a lot of the comments that I'm hearing sound exactly like the plot of Harrison Bergeron, which you may not be familiar with because Kurt Vonnegut's now on the banned books list in almost every public library. But the plot of the story was that everyone had to be made equal, even if it meant handicapping them physically. So, you know, the tests are meant to be a measure of the success of the student in the class, whether they've learned the material or not. And if they haven't learned the material, they have to be held back to learn the material again. A lot of the opinions and the statements that I'm hearing are sort of reinforcing the fact that schools are kind of forced to push students through the educational system, whether they have learned the material or not. And that seems a little bit counterproductive.
Okay. Abby Fanning.
Absolutely true. And again, the idea is, if somebody else has to evaluate my students to see whether or not they're literate and whether or not they've learned the skills of the class, I suppose they would have to test them somehow. But the beauty of it is nobody else has to evaluate them. I can do it. I spend 40 weeks with each one of my students, talking to them, reading their writing, listening to them speak, teaching them. And so I know perfectly well at the end of the year, without a pen and paper test, without anything standardized, without anything written by a board of regents who are not teachers and who haven't been students in decades, whether or not my students have reached a level of success where they need to pass the course.
Briefly, Sheila, do you agree that that point that Ms. Fanning, as her students would say, Ms. Byrne, do you agree that that removes the autonomy of the teacher themselves?
I would say it does to a certain extent, but I would also say, what would we replace that with? What would we replace our end of the year assessment with that would say you are ready to go into 11th grade or you are ready to go into 12th grade? I don't know what that would look like.
You get to teach another book or another creative writing unit. You get to keep teaching to the objectives of your course, and we don't have a big cumulative scary test at the end of it. At the end of the course, the regent score doesn't determine whether or not the student passes the class, by the way. That's still up to me. I determine whether or not the student has mastered the skills, can pass the course, and can move on to the next class.
And I assume you've had students who failed a regent's exam but have done just fine in your class.
Absolutely, and vice versa.
Same with you?
Yes, absolutely. And since the regent's exam doesn't really count for anything anymore, as far as an average goes, it's kind of just a strange outlier.
Amy from the Finger Lakes writes, I was a B student in high school that didn't do so great on standardized testing. I did graduate with a Regents diploma and I went on to college. However, I'm tested monthly in my corporate job on accuracy by both my company and by New York State departments. As much as I hated those tests, they did prepare me for the real world. I've taught my children to love testing. It's a challenge for them to see where they can improve and to find different ways to identify where they struggle. The tests need to be revamped, but the teachers need to promote them positively to begin with.
So I'm a good test taker. I used to love tests. When I was in school, I loved tests also. For me, it happened to work. I got the grades, I got the benefits, I got the opportunities, I got the scholarships that went along with getting those scores. And there are definitely some professions and maybe some occupations where it will be very important to have test-taking skills. But we're pretending that that's not what we're assessing. We're pretending that we're assessing literacy, success, ability, the students having learned something in our class. If we want to teach test-taking, then we should have a class on test-taking, and that's fine. And then let's not pretend that we're actually evaluating real learning.
You know, the interesting thing is a class on test-taking would be interesting. It might actually be interesting.
Sure, I'll teach it.
Let me got to keep it tight. This is in Brighton. This is Judy. Go ahead, Judy.
Yes, I'm a retired high school math teacher, and I'm 74, so I've been retired quite a while. And when I taught Regents-level classes, the teachers were much more involved in creating those tests and creating the questions. There was a department under the Department of Education that was a math department at the state level, and they were responsible for creating the Regents exams. Around the time that I retired, the writing of Regents exams was turned over to commercial interests. And I feel at this point, one of the motivations at the state level is not so elevated as proper evaluation or the best evaluation of students, but rather here's another way to save money. Mm-hmm. And by eliminating regents, they eliminate that cost from the state budget.
That's Judy's point. Yes or no, Sheila?
They eliminate costs from the state budget? Well, I would say that's accurate. Once they took that away from teachers. Teachers know what they're teaching. They know the curriculum and they know their students. And I would agree with Evie on that, is that if teachers could make up the final, we would probably do a better job.
Katie Baird, as you look to your future, what do you think has best prepared you for your future in your K-12 experience? Testing, teaching, everything that happened. What do you think best prepared you for your future?
Definitely the general education from, like, my teachers that I've been given, rather than, like, the SAT or the AP exam or the Regents exam. I was lucky enough to be put in an environment and in a school district where my peers cared about our grades, my teachers cared, and I don't think everyone is as lucky. I think because of my economic standpoint, I've been given those opportunities that not everyone else has been given. That's what I would say.
Okay. Well, it's been a lively discussion this hour. 20 seconds. You want some final thoughts? Go ahead.
Basically, I would love to see less testing and more teaching. I struggle to get an answer anywhere to the question of why do we need this number placed on a student at the end of their education? To whom is it useful?
20 seconds.
Put down your phones and read a book.
Well, that was easy. That was like 3 seconds. differences of opinions, but really two teachers and a student who do love learning, and I think are the kinds of teachers that so many parents, myself included, would be thrilled to have if they're teaching our kids. So Evie Fanning, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for including me.
Sheila Byrne, great to have you back here, an AP English teacher at Webster Thomas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Katie Baird, good luck to you, though I suspect at this point luck is sort of immaterial. Sounds like you're going to make your own luck.
Thank you.
And I think you've got a great future, and I know your teachers recommended you for a reason. Short break, more connections coming up.